Hello, Work That's Worth It listeners. I'm thrilled to bring you a special series of mini podcast episodes to celebrate my book launch. Truthfully, I absolutely love sharing stories and insights from the people I call disruptors for goods with you all. While writing my book, also called Work That's Worth It, I discovered there were so many inspiring conversations that couldn't all fit within its pages. Instead of keeping these gems hidden away in my Dropbox folders, I wanted to get them out in the world. These mini episodes are my gift to you, little bursts of value from the remarkable people who've shaped my thinking about meaningful work. In my work as a coach, I have met so many young professionals who believe that being kind, purpose-driven, and community-minded means they can't work in the for-profit world. They worry that choosing a corporate path means they're selling out. But then there are companies like Virta, with a bold mission to reverse type 2 diabetes and obesity in a billion people. Virta is redefining what the for-profit world can do for something like diabetes. In this episode, with their CEO and co-founder, Sami Inkinen, it becomes clear that he is not just building a profitable business, he's creating something much bigger. When I spoke with Sami about success, we touched on a common tension, making money versus doing good. I've noticed many young people equate for-profit work with selling out, but Sami sees Virta as a movement rather than a company. Hear him explain in his own words.
There are companies that are for-profit machines disguised as a movement. Virta is a movement disguised as a for-profit company. Like, we are actually a movement disguised as a for-profit company. So the way I thought of it when we were starting was like, it was very clear to me that I know, we know, and with the scientists that started, there's a way to solve type 2 diabetes and obesity in the only right way, a scalable way, a sustainable way, and healthy way. We can save a lot of lives, save a lot of eyes and limbs and billions of dollars of taxpayer money.
One thing that stands out about Sami is his ambition and clarity of purpose. When starting Virta, he carefully considered how to maximize his impact. Listen to him explain why he chose a for-profit model.
I was very conscious, like, okay, we need a vehicle for this. Like, how do we scale it? What is the vehicle? And I was very conscious. There's different vehicles we could choose. Am I going to write a book? Am I going to start a not-for-profit? Am I going to start a for-profit or something else? And I chose for-profit company very consciously as a vehicle to make this happen. And it was very clear to me that to attract the best talent, if you have a world-changing idea, you can get capital, which we needed from investors, retain people, and then ultimately build a machine that kind of keeps living way beyond me and sort of funding and feeding itself.
He also shared his thoughts on effective altruism. And it got me thinking about how personal fulfillment intersects with altruistic work.
There's these movements like effective altruism. It's like, use your brain in whatever you want to do to make maximum amount of money, and then you buy malaria nets in Africa to save maximum number of lives. I think that's bad advice to young people, in my opinion, because it ignores two things. One, it's your life. Do you really want to just sit in a chair, do something you hate just so you can make money, then your brain's outcome is then used to save life. So it's your life at the end of the day, and do something that's enjoyable, is creative, and so forth. And then with your daily work, potentially to help other people. And then the other thing it ignores is, if you have a unique skill to be creative to help other people, it's not about the money or the dollar. Like, I feel like I have a unique skill to make Virta work. Like, yeah, I could probably be a VC and make a lot of money and then buy malaria nets. But I'm like one of the very, very few people who got the idea and have the creativity to make Virta happen. And that is, the ROI is like million X. Like, there is no, well, there's very few people like me who could do this very thing at this very point in human existence. And so I would encourage young people I would say, why do something and then anything to make money and then use 10% of those proceeds to do good? Why don't you allocate 100% of your time to do good with your daily work? Even if it's like on a math equation or a spreadsheet, it serves to save less lives. Because at least you can feel that you are, with your own creativity, you're helping people with every single one of the minutes and hours that you spend. So that's my kind of guidance, that you can do good and with your actual time.
I think it's important to remember that effective altruism neglects the joy that comes from personal accomplishment. I'd also argue that working with your peers towards a common goal is the best part of altruistic experience. Sami also expands on this idea of impactful work and personal fulfillment, warning us to be careful climbing the so-called ladder for success.
It's a societal construct to say that you'll be so much happier when you make $300,000 a year versus $110,000 a year. It's just not true. It is not true. Like, if you do fulfilling work, and obviously this is in American context because you'd live like a king in most of the world for $100,000 a year. But if you make $100,000 a year here and you're really enjoying the work you do and you're really touching others' lives and improving, it is a complete illusion that you would be so much happier with $300,000. But many people believe in that. And then obviously if you are making $300,000 and then you spend it all in private schools or whatnot, there's no way you could think that you could go back to $100,000, which is dangerous. So I always encourage people, I say, don't build your life and your lifestyle to the point where, like, you've got the 3 cars, top of the line, and, you know, you live in a most expensive place, because then you're stuck in your unhappiness for the rest of your life.
Being an immigrant has given him a unique perspective on the American culture of success, specifically how we think about promotions and how we get there. Here's his take.
We teach that everything's like a game or hackable thing, that you can be kind of perfect. Well, there's no rules in the universe other than physics, what we understand. There's no rule. Professional life is the same thing. Too many kids go through school and it's like, it's everything is about getting the A in the next test. Then you get a perfect, then you can get to the next ladder and you want to get A in the next test. So what do I need to know for this test? Okay, what do I need to memorize? Like, how do I, oh, you didn't tell me that question would be, that's horrible. Like, now you violated, oh my God. And then if I get A's, I'm perfect. That's just a made up thing. And so suddenly you're in the real world, real life, professional life. Like, there's no rules. I don't know, maybe we're building a new product, new organization. How do you be a kind leader? Like, I can't tell you, here's this box you need to do and you'll be perfect, you'll be promoted. People come into professional setting assuming that it's like school, like there's a box that they neatly fill and they can do A and they can be exactly told what to do and then they'll be perfect. And if they aren't, it's like your managers or the company's fault that they didn't tell which box to beautifully get the A. It's almost like the school should help people learn for life, not to accomplish some specific grade or metric. It's somehow the school is not teaching learning and creativity and sort of the basic life and professional skills. It's like, where's the leveling card? Okay, I come in a level 1, like how do I get to level 2? And it's like, it's almost like cramming into a test to try to, and then if they don't get promoted or something, it's like, well, that wasn't told in the leveling card or whatever. It's like, no, that's not how the real world works.
Now, this next revelation from Sami genuinely surprised me. We've all heard of helicopter parents and snowplow parents, but this is an entirely new level of parental intervention.
I literally now have 2 cases of parents calling me or our head of HR. Because somebody's been fired for just being a bad performer. Whatever happens, smile and think about how you can help others. And sometimes you get the shorter end of the stick. It's not about you, just take it, move on, learn from it. It's like, now it's like a fight. Like if you get fired from a job, you're like, this is your opportunity. Like they're trying to suppress you, like fight. Like, yeah, sometimes there's a situation you may want to, but for the most part in life, it's the ego that's like, oh my God, they are like sticking it to me. Like, I'm going to fight. I'm going to ask my parents to call the company. Or then the same thing, you're in sales or whatever you do. As a leader, as a man, it's not about you. It's about them. And it's very, very hard. I think American society teaches exactly the opposite.
Sami's insights today vividly illustrate that profits fuel purpose, revealing a new paradigm where meaningful impact and financial success actually strengthen each other. He leaves us with a thought-provoking message. For-profit companies can be purpose-driven at their core and a powerful force for social good. Thanks for taking time to listen to this mini-episode. If you found this valuable, I have a special offer for my podcast listeners. You can get access to the first chapters of my book completely free. I share details in the show notes, so definitely check it out and you can get started reading today. Or, ready to dive into the full journey? Head over to workthatsworthit.com to get your physical copy of my book or wherever you buy books online. I would be absolutely delighted to have you both as a reader and a listener. Remember, the average career is 90,000 hours of your life. That's too significant to spend on work that doesn't fulfill you or add value into your life. Thank you for being here and making space to discover what's worth it for you.